Well, Easter is right around the corner, and this weekend, my guess is you'll have more guests than any other day of the entire year in your church. Well, today we're going to talk about how your church can guarantee the best shot at getting those Easter visitors connected. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 93. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not much, man. Excited to chat here in Holy Week, Easter yeah. Week. Excited. It's kind of our Super Bowl coming up this weekend here.
That's what I was going to say, Super Bowl. Yep, Super yeah. Bowl time.
So hopefully our audience is catching this pre-Easter. If not, it's an evergreen one. I think Easter will come again next year, the Lord willing. Should the Lord tarry, we'll have Easter again next year. But today's episode, we'll be talking about how to guarantee Easter visitors get connected. So bold claim we're making, right? That we're guaranteeing that your Easter visitors get connected.
It's a very bold claim, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think this is important. My philosophy, and I think our philosophy at Reach Right as a whole, is that every time a visitor walks in your doors, we need to consider them as a gift from the Lord. It is something that God has brought them there through, whether it be personal invite or seeing you online or something you're doing to advertise and market the church or just a straight Holy Spirit prompt from driving by your building, whatever it would be. That is a gift from the Lord. They're there for a reason, and it is our job to treat it as such, treat them as such. They're not it's, they're people. We're to treat them as such and really go the extra mile to help people get connected. So that's what this is all about today, is I think that we're want to unpack some strategies that churches can use, because this is the big weekend. Time that for most churches, you'll see more visitors this Sunday than any other day in the year. And we hope that more of them get connected and you're able to disciple them and lead them into faith in Jesus, and just that their lives would be changed as a result of being in your church. That's kind of our hope here today, is that we'd be able to go through some of those tips and tricks that we've picked up to help more visitors. And I think it's a little bit different from we've done other episodes in the past about how to just do a assimilation process and getting people connected. But we have some, I think, that are a little bit more Easter specific, or some new things to be thinking about here today. So we're going to just dig in. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go for it. So first thing I think that is important now is that you come up with a plan, a specific plan on how you plan to follow up with Easter visitors. If it is different, probably is based around your normal plan, but there's probably going to be a few things that are different there. So I think now this podcast is coming out on a Tuesday, the Tuesday here before Easter. Now is the time, if not earlier, to make that plan, to write it down. You need to ask some of the questions like, who is going to be responsible for following up or connecting with Easter guests? Yep. How are you going to collect the guest information? What type of follow-up communication do you want to do? What would you like your guests to do after Easter weekend?
Yeah.
You need to probably have a get-together with senior leadership within your church and figure out, how are we going to do this and come up with a plan. And I think those are four key questions that you can be answering in there of how we're going to be connecting with each of these people.
Yeah, I think for a long time, and not all churches, there are churches that are excellent at planning, but there's a lot of churches that just, and do pray that the visitors come stick.
Absolutely.
That's step number one, right? But I think that's where it stops for a lot of churches. They feel like they can just make, give a good message, pray that they have the conviction to fall in love with the Lord and can get plugged into the church. And that is great. You should pray for that for all of your visitors. But I think that we forget that it's, I would say assimilation and getting people connected is even more important after Easter because of the types of visitors that come on Easter. For every we've called them the C and E's for years, right? They come only on Christmas Eve and Easter. So they're even more slippery, if you will, to get connected. So I think a plan is even more important than just praying.
Yeah, we want
to
turn them from slippery into sticky. And I think that the point with this here is just that, like, I think so often when it comes to our connection and our assimilation processes in churches, we operate much more in the what we should be doing or like what we would like to do and not the actual concrete plan. And so I think what the point is here is that you need to have this written down. Like you need to make a Google Doc or whatever your church uses and write it down and say, these are the people that will be connecting with Easter visitors on Sunday morning. And these are the people that are going to be sending this specific email and this specific text message. And they're going to send these kinds of things. And this is the specific event we want to invite people to, and have this all written down, and then follow up and say, how did it go when we reached out to these people? How many phone calls were made or how many emails were sent? And really having all of this written down, because I can tell you, having pastored churches where this has taken place, having consulted churches where this has taken place, I find that so often if we just say what we would like to do, it never really happens. It really is important to have a very concrete plan when it comes to how you're going to follow up with your visitors and connect with them.
That's good. Good stuff. I think it's a good transition because the first step of your plan of connection should be to obviously get their contact information to be able to follow up.
Yep.
So that's our second step in this, and probably first part of the, and this should be probably obvious to most churches, but sometimes it's a misstep, and sometimes it's maybe just not done strategically the best way. So you want to get their information for a good follow-up. And I guess the question is, how much information? What information do we want to get? We came across some interesting data according to Barna, which of course we all know Barna for statistics for years now, that 19% of millennials are comfortable giving their physical address and only 12% of them their phone number. And I will tell you, on a lot of like response forms on websites we see and everything, I rarely see a ton of those with phone number, or if it is on there, it's optional.
Right.
They say optional for that, which I think is a good thing to include there based on these statistics. But so I think based on that, would you say, I think it's email still probably the one thing that you're safest asking for, I would think, based on that.
I think that, you know, basically, in reality, everything's optional, right? Nobody has to give us anything. I think that, I'd be most comfortable giving my email, but even that, I'm pretty tight with it. You know, I really don't, when I'm new at some kind of an organization, or if I go to a restaurant or a meeting of some kind and they ask for my contact info, I'm probably most likely to give my email address, less likely to give my my phone number, and then even for me, even less likely to give my physical address. It's just kind of, I think people will go along a lot of times with whatever they feel you're asking for, but I think putting it as optional in there, making that clear. But here's what I think the main takeaway of this is that I think what the most common thing churches miss is incentivizing people giving you their information. If you are not giving people a reason to get over that, you know, it's going to stay at that 12 or 19% that we're talking about. Yeah. I would guess that less than half of people want to give you their email addresses unless they have a real reason to do so. And you need to incentivize that. And the stat you just gave, it's for millennials. And sometimes we make this mistake of thinking millennials, that's just like kids. Millennials are 41 now, you know, so millennials are getting towards middle aged in their life here. So it's not like we're just talking. These are your bread and butter young families that so many churches want to reach. That's what they're comfortable giving there. So the key here is incentivize. Do not ever ask for something without promising something in return when it comes to visitor information with that. So we've talked many times about ideas. We have a whole podcast episode about ideas on how you can incentivize people to give you their their information on Sunday morning. But, you know, the obvious ones are some swag, I think gift cards to local coffee shops, those kinds of things.
The least basket, something like that.
One thing that I think a lot of churches miss is how can we incentivize people that are only watching online? Because I imagine most churches are streaming or putting their Easter services online now, and most churches are going to have people watching for the first time on there. I think that's a really untapped opportunity, is how do we incentivize people to connect online, give you their information, and then start to assimilate and connect with them more.
Yeah.
So how can we do that online for people? Giving them something that if someone's watching you from another state and they're doing it consistently, you know, maybe it's a local coffee shop might not be the best gift card to give them, but maybe Starbucks.
E-gift card. E-gift card, you know? So, and that actually might be just as popular for in-person too. You know, an e-gift card, people use e-gift cards all the time, you know? So, so something like that might be a good idea. But yeah, I think the point, good point you made there, don't forget about your online visitors too and incentivizing them.
Incentivize. That's the main
thing.
That's
it. Good.
That's it. Good. I'll get the third one here. It's, we need to make sure we have options available for those who want more. So let's get it through our heads that, like, not everybody that walks in on Easter Sunday for the first time is ready to jump in hook, line, and sinker and buy in and join your serving teams and even give their life to Jesus. We want that. Yeah. We want that for them. We want people to make decisions to follow Jesus. We want them to get connected. But not everybody is ready for that. But I think for there are going to be some of them that want to take that next step. That are ready to do something. So I think it is so important on Easter Sunday to have, I'd say one, but I mean, I could move on this, but I'd say one primary call to action of, if you're here for the first time, here is, if you want more, here is your next step. Here's the next thing you can do. So give us your information and we have this. And in most cases, it's going to be some kind of a really low barrier to entry, like a lunch with the pastors or something to that effect.
Yeah.
It probably isn't your new members class. Like, that's not maybe, that might be a little bit one step ahead of where an Easter visitor is ready to go.
Yeah,
but maybe
course.
Like a, hey, you know, meet the people, grab a free lunch next week, that kind of a thing. So having a clear invitation of this is where you can go next and take your next step in your walk with the Lord and grow in connection with our church. I think that's what's good. But I think there's lots of other options. You need to have other things in mind. So there's going to be people that come that are ready to serve. There's going to be people that come that are ready to find a small group. You'll have people that are just wanting to get more involved in places. So having your people trained to guide people down those steps, but from the pulpit or from your announcement time, I think having one clear next step for those that want to take a next step or want more, that's what you need to be doing on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it reminded me of what my church did a few years back that was very effective, is we had that kind of like meet some of the team, you know, free lunch, and not just like a free lunch. We had something along those lines, but we had food trucks out, and then we had also, hey, bring the kids. We're going to have kind of a post-Easter egg hunt, but these are going to be like little, these are cool little things. And it's not just candy. We had these other little like toy items and things in there and made it a game for the kids, food trucks, and it made it real kind of casual, and not every church is going to get food trucks and do all of that.
Yeah, you would have had me at food trucks right there. I'm there.
I know.
Right? That's it. Are there tacos? I'm in. Let's go.
That's right. Tacos. And here in Texas, you got to have either barbecue or tacos. So
or both, or together. And it's really good. Barbecue tacos sounds perfect.
That's it. So, but yeah, it's good stuff. I'll get the next one. That's follow up promptly with your visitors. So we got to hit this one. I mean, that's don't let, you know, a week go by or more before you reach out, you know, probably within the, if not, I don't know about same day, but within the first, you know, couple of days after they visit, you know, and we've talked a lot in the past. We've had prior podcasts about email sequences and ways to automate, you know, stuff following up. You should probably consider that, but at least have some sort of a personal follow-up after and doing it promptly. That's our goal, is not just the follow-up, but don't wait too long. It's easy. I think it's easy for churches to wait a bit, you know. we put so much into the production of Easter, right? So yeah. There's so much. We work with churches. Right now, I'm hearing this from every pastor. Are we so focused on Easter and we getting our programs, getting everything. We're crazy busy and all of that. And so it's easy after the big Super Bowl to just be like, okay, we're done. Oh my gosh, yeah. Let's breathe. But you got to be on your game after that too. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that I compare it to like I never did like a lot of dating. I met my my wife and we knew we were going to get married. I'm one of those stories that I think a month into our relationship, we were pretty sure we were going to get married and everything. And we were friends beforehand. So I never really had to wrestle with that thing that I hear a lot of people wrestle with is how soon is too soon to call after a date, right? Yeah. So it's like, I know that people kind of struggle with that. It's like, oh, is he going to think I'm too into him or too into her if I call the day after. Yeah. And in my experience, we probably want people to think that we're into them, like a visitors at church, right? We want them to think, hey, we are really into you. So if we are sitting there waiting, it's not like they're not sitting by their phones like wondering, why hasn't First Baptist called yet? What is going on, right? They're not thinking that. But I think we want to convey that people matter, we care about them. And I think the sooner you can do it, the better. But I totally agree. There is more temptation on Easter Sunday to not call for a while than any other time, because typically on Easter Sunday after service, you are toast. You're super tired as leaders in the church. You have a ham that has to get into the oven and you have all your family coming over and everybody's going to be hanging out and together. And then usually you're in like that post-Easter coma Monday, Tuesday. That's like the slowest day for us at Reach, right? Is the day after Easter. Yeah. Everybody's like, well, I'm not coming into the office. We're not doing anything. Right. So you have so many things that you could be doing or you would rather be doing, but you just need to probably put it on your calendar. Whoever's going to be doing this, follow up with visitors. It has to be there. There's nothing wrong with doing it via email at least, or even text messaging that afternoon. Hey, it was great to see you. Thanks so much for coming. Getting those messages out there, getting cards in the mail if you're doing that kind of stuff. I think I honestly am in the camp of get it on your calendar, plan to do it because you're going to need to do it and it is the most important day to do it. So don't put it off. That's what's important.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. Next one is get the whole church involved with connecting with Easter visitors. This is one of the other mistakes we see a lot of churches make is that we think that it is, and this is just, you know, we make this mistake in lots of areas, but it's the staff's job to do the work of the ministry. And, you know, we all know that we want every member to be equipped as a minister, everybody to be involved. But this is one of those areas where we see so many churches just kind of miss this idea that everybody can be involved with this. Now, I will say there is definite value in communication coming directly from senior leadership of churches. So if you're able, and I maybe our audience might disagree, let us know in the comments on this. I'm personally okay if you have people sending emails on your behalf. If you're a church that has 75 different visitors on Easter Sunday, I think it'd be hard to expect your lead pastor to be typing 75 personal emails on Sunday at 1 in the afternoon. Now, this is not something that we can expect. So I think that there is value in that. And I think as long as the tone and kind of the overall message is coming from your lead pastor, I think it's okay to have helpers who are there actually being the ones that copy and paste that in, add in a greeting, put in the person's name and click send from the pastor's email account. But there's value in the lead pastor and the senior leadership doing part of the communication. But I think there is great value in having people from all over your church involved, from greeting to hosting. And there's a difference in that, in my opinion. So someone shaking hands and someone showing a first-time visitor and walking them over to kids ministry and helping them find a seat and then checking up with them after service and saying, hey, do you have any questions? How did things go? That kind of stuff. There's a difference in that. But having your church, everybody involved. So it's late because we already had our last Sunday before Easter, but I think it makes sense right before Easter, the week before, give people a little bit of a precursor of, hey, you know, this is going to be a big deal this next week.
Right.
We want to invite everyone. You need to be extra friendly. You need to be, you know, assume that people, if you haven't seen them before, that they're there for the first time and teach them how to greet people. And so get your whole church involved, I think is what's really important.
Yeah. Our pastor was joking about it, saying that, okay, we know in the Austin area that pretty much everyone, half the people here now from California that have moved into our area. That's just what we've had happen here. And the joke was made that, and we've had homes exploding all around the church being built and people moving in and out and Texans selling and making a lot of money and Californians coming in and spending a lot of money and all of this stuff. So the joke was that, hey, listen, if you've been a part of this, you're part of our church regularly. You know, we got a lot of Texans in here. There's going to be a lot of Californians coming. I know that some of you are irritated that they're all moving in, but you need to be friendly and be Christ-like, even if you don't feel like it. And it just reminded me of that.
Californians are like Samaritans nowadays, basically, right?
Yeah,
they're like,
that's right.
if you're a Californian and that upsets you, you can let us know in the comments too.
And so everyone knows, like, most of my best friends are from California. So that's, it's happened.
I met you coming from California when we met.
You did.
So
that's it. Did, as a matter of fact. So, I think you hit the nail on the head. What I wanted to kind of reiterate was just that, you know, leading up to this, and then we know if you're listening to this on Tuesday, hopefully you've done this already, but even the couple of weeks prior, you know, from the pulpit or just making it clear to your members through communication that, hey, this is going to be a big weekend. You know, we need, like you said, to be extra friendly, be inviting back, connect with people, but keep it authentic, I would say. I'd say, you know, let's not put unhealthy pressure to where people are following up with new visitors in an awkward way. So,
we have to realize that some people just aren't good at that, right? There's some people that are just so introverted that, you know, the time of their week that they hate the most is when they say, turn around and say hi to your neighbor at church, right? Like, that's the part that is that they dread that moment every week. And so, you know, people will kind of self-select for this. Those people are going to probably don't put some undue pressure on them that you have to do that to be a good Christian. But I think that people that are good at it will naturally kind of rise up to the call, I think, in this case.
Yeah, that's good.
That's it. So, well, why don't you wrap us up with the last one, Ian?
Yeah, so connect with everyone who attends at Easter. So I think that's important. Don't leave no stone unturned, no person untouched. So connect with everyone that attends doesn't mean just, you know, we're not just saying reach out to them after the service, make sure that every person that filled out the greeting card is met. We mean find a way to keep people there longer. I think the mindset for a lot of people that attend a church service at Easter is get in, enjoy the service, check mark, we're out.
Yeah.
So what are some ways we can keep people sticking around fellowshipping? There's the group. We don't call it that. But you know, connecting, talking, communicating.
Visit us at the fellowship table.
Yeah,
stay longer.
So
come fellowship.
We'll have coffee at the fellowship table and a donut. So no, but basically just, it could be coffee, donuts. It could be a little egg hunt after church to keep the parents lingering around. Those are a couple of ideas for that. But that helps you to connect with everyone that attends. So things like that.
I know
like
your
that.
Church used to be really big. You guys were on the Easter egg, like the helicopter Easter egg drop. But you guys still do that kind of stuff? Or have you?
We've simmered down on that. We've simplified it a lot. We actually, if you remember, had Tim Tebow come speak
at
Easter.
You did have Tim Tebow on Easter. That's right.
I don't think I was even able to attend that because of how crazy it was.
That was in the middle of Tebow mania too, so it wasn't.
It was
Tim
it,
Tebow.
It was,
now, I mean, it'd still draw a crowd, no doubt. But
sure,
he was
sure.
Yeah,
it
in,
was,
in the South, you know, in Texas, like that, in football country.
Yeah,
that was a really big deal there. So
some
of the ones I think of are photo booths. I think are really great. I don't know if your church does a photo booth or not. We're working on one right now at our church.
We do.
You know, it's a place that people kind of line up and get their photo taken. Or they take photos in front of it.
Yeah.
It's great for social media. I think that's really good. Maybe that's a future podcast episode, is talking about how to make a great church photo booth. I don't know that we're specialists on that just yet, but why you should make a photo booth, I think.
My wife and I have a friend that has a business of it's a digital photo booth that people can have it restaurants, their home parties, everything else. She does very well at that. So
that's cool.
So anyway, maybe we can get her on or something.
But I think what it is it's just the connecting that you get to do with people when you're standing there in line or you're taking their picture, and people, it's kind of an intimate thing, or, you know, they're taking pictures, they're putting it on social media. I think that's a great one. There's so many different, I think, Easter egg hunts. I mean, we're going to have a portion of our audience that, you know, is opposed to anything, you know, kind of secular when it comes to Easter and Easter eggs. Right. I don't know. I think in my position is that it probably is worth it. I think people aren't doing it out of, worship of the goddess Ishtar or anything like that. It's not why people are coming to do it. So I would put all that stuff aside. I think Easter egg hunts and anything you do to help families have a great time and a memorable experience.
Yeah.
I think it just goes a long way. So yeah, keep people around. Amen. That's what's important.
It's good stuff.
Awesome. Well, good. Those are our ideas. I hope it's been helpful to you guys. If it has been, let us know in the comments below if you have any other ideas for our Reach Right family of maybe things that you guys are doing to help visitors better connect. Let us know about that in the comments, too. I think it's kind of the hive mind that we have going. We want to make this a resource to all kinds of people. So we'd love to hear what you think, too. So as always, if this has been helpful to you, rate, review, subscribe. That means a lot to us. Thank you for helping us move up in the algorithms when you do those kinds of things. It does mean a lot to us. So thank you guys for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we hope to catch you next week.
Happy Easter.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.